Okay. Let me catch myself up quickly. All right, report time. Just that quick, we're to the reports, King. Did I jump one?
You did.
Spotlight.
No.
So, oh, you're right. We moved D down. TV surplus raffle E. Thank you, Matt. Good catch. Good save. TV raffle. I'll entertain our motion. What do we want to do with the TV raffle?
We'll make a motion to approve the TV surplus raffle. I guess, do I have to say or... Well, this is discussion. I don't know how you want me to do this one because we've got.
I know we're not supposed to have discussion before, so I guess we can't.
You can make a motion and we'll turn it down.
Okay.
You can make a motion, discuss it, and then vote it down, correct?
As presented to give it to the staff.
So a motion is presented for the staff.
Second.
You got a second.
Now we can.
Motion and a second. Discuss away.
So the discussion is, and as I thought about it, I kind of like what Lynette, whoever brought it up to her, would be, is why don't we pull three TVs out, one of them for a raffle for Buffalo High School graduation, one of them for a raffle for KC, and one of them for New West, and you need somewhere to store them, I'll store them for you. Yeah, we'll be right here in school, just kidding.
Just kidding. Please speak on it.
But I don't think that's a bad idea.
I just want to mention something, that these are 5 years old, they're as is, they're not...
There is no warranty.
Right, so...
Plus, like, two of them are that size, they might be too big for
the cow. You think that'll fit in the dorm room?
Depends on if you're inside or outside. The outside of the room.
And we, and Christy and I and Charles talked about this, we don't have a preference, so whatever you guys want.
Gotcha.
We just tried to figure out how to
move them.
And so that might be, if they are that big, I don't know how many people want that big a TV in their home.
That's not our choice.
I was gonna say, can we include in the motion not to let any Ledoux children bring home?
I don't disagree that those are large, but that is not our choice.
If they want to purchase a house
to put it in, then that's their choice.
With the raffle, if you are chosen first, you just get to pick out which one you want, because there's different sizes, you said, Christy?
Mm-hmm. I think most of them are 75 inch, so it's a little smaller. Sure.
Okay. A little smaller.
10 inches.
Big television.
Big one. So thank you, Christy. That helped me to answer my to answer what I wanted to do.
That's fine to do. Whatever you guys.
Well, and so, Mr. Chair, I think if Dave is willing to store them for real, I think that's a bonus.
But they're big for a kid.
Okay, so
I'd like to say, if whatever the board decides is a direction, I mean, if it's three TVs, then we'll figure out somewhere to do with it. But I want to come back to the disclaimer. The people that we bought TVs from don't really want them because they're not worth having. I don't want people to be slapped in the face and say, oh, because what if it does break? So that disclaimer is, JCSD number one cannot guarantee the TV being purchased, which would be for $50, all right? That means that it works.
How did we get the purchase for $50? I thought we were... That's the raffle ticket? I got you.
If you read the disclaimer...
I went from a raffle to a sale all of a sudden.
If you are one... Because everybody wants a big screen TV, so we're assuming there's going to be more people that want one. And then if you draw your name out, you would be willing to pay $50 for that.
Okay, I got you.
So that's where the sale came in.
I'll go back to what you said, Marcia, just because of the size for kids.
But if the board decides they would like to donate one to KC or each of the schools, New West, Buffalo High School, we would find storage for that.
I didn't realize it was all that big. I don't think they realize how big it is.
I think what we're trying to do is not...
store them.
To have a surplus 5 years from now and then give them, we want them just gone, right? Is that fair, Kristen?
Any additional discussion? Everybody got it?
Do you have a lot of staff that are interested in these?
Yeah.
If you would have more than 12 people?
I'm sure.
Okay. So they're not going to be hard to give away.
Oh, I don't
know. I can envision my child winning this. Not that we're there yet at all, but I would say no.
Marcia, you've got to fill that new house.
I'm not a television person.
That is huge.
That is huge.
Yeah. I just,
I can read it from here.
Even I don't know. I can't imagine as a parent when your kid gets that and then you'd be like, where are you kidding me?
You don't want to see Fortnite this big?
No. I don't want to see anything that big.
Okay, all right. Come back to order. Let's get this out.
Call the question.
Call the question. Okay, all in favor of approving the raffle as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The opposed, same time. Okie dokie. Got it.
Common sense wins out.
Yay. Okay, that's the final item. I've got it right this time. Principal reports. Who's our spotlight this month?
Mr. That is Wes. Wes. So, Dr. Hansen, you are up.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we'll pull up a couple chairs here. So please. That's standing in front of everybody. You guys get to all come up. I'll put one here. I'll put one on there. Instead of standing in front of all of them. If that's okay. So, in addition to the written report and the video report that you have from us, we thought we would talk about teaching and learning at New West this month. So, something that we don't often get the time to talk about in detail, I guess, is how we go about things at New West and the things that make us uniquely us. There's a few of those things. And so we're just going to get into the details of some of the things we do in our individual and collaborative classes with New West students. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the culinary program that we have, both at New West and BHS. If for everybody's benefit, there's been a culinary program since 2019 when Chef Sam Bayless was hired in the district. And from the very start, Sam worked with us when we were down at Bomber Mountain, and he had the, I don't want to say it would be a benefit, but the luxury of getting to teach culinary out of the small gym at the Bomber Mountain Center and some portable stations there. And even in those, I would say, trying circumstances, it was immediately clear that having that program was going to be a good thing for our students. And so we've been an advocate for keeping that program ever since. It's bounced around just a little bit. It was down at the middle school for a couple of years, and then over to its present location in what used to be the home ec room at the Bomber Mountain Center for the last 2-3 years now. Last year in March, we received a grant from the El Bogan Foundation for $210,000 to support that program. That's payable in $70,000 increments each year. I have to reapply for that. But that goes partially for our chef instructor's salary, but it also has gone so far to equip that kitchen. And so before I forget, I want to make sure Sam always has a nice open house sort of event down there, usually the first week of December or so. So we don't have an exact date. He was very focused on making sure the Veterans Day goes off without a hitch tomorrow. Our students will be helping cater that. But when I have a date, I'll make sure that all of the trustees, outgoing or incoming, have an invitation to come to that open house. I think you'll all be pleased to see how thoughtful he's been at equipping that kitchen. Some of the things to highlight, and some of you have been in that space and some of you haven't ever, but it's essentially a kitchen with, you know, separated into four smaller kitchens, like most home ec rooms that we all probably had home ec at one time, right? And then a teaching classroom attached to that. And so as it is, the students will get their instruction in the one side of the classroom, do all their preparations in one side of the classroom. He's got everything color-coded, so everybody knows what they're responsible for, does all their cleaning, some really cool accountability stuff with that, with the kitchen. And once they're all prepared, they wheel over their cart with their products to be cooked, baked, over to their individual kitchens. It's really slick. He's been really thoughtful about it. This year, in addition to the culinary class, we've been fortunate to be able to add the ProStart course, which is the National Restaurant Association's certification course. That can be taught in 1-year or 2-year increments. he's going to go ahead and see how far he gets this year. That's the best that we can do with that. In order to achieve a certification in that program, students have to get 200 hours working in a food service environment. And so some of our students do that work already. Some of them have been prompted to go do some of that work. And we're being creative to see how else that might pan out in the future. So that's where the culinary program sort of is. One of the things that we've been able to use that grant money on in collaboration with the culinary program is on the hydroponic gardening system that we purchased from the Living Waters organization over in Gillette at a barn burner of a sale. And as you saw in my report, Mrs. Kennedy's donated some space for us at Buffalo Gardens to set up that system. It's big, and so it was a big ask, and so there's only so many places in town we could figure out where to set this thing up at. But the ultimate hope is that our students will be able to grow produce, which can then be used in our culinary program. But beyond that, to produce both ready-to-eat and ready-to-heat meals, which will then be transported by Johnson County Friends Feeding Friends in their cool new van over to the Bread of Life Food Pantry and made available to patrons there. And so that should launch next week, sort of on a pilot basis. Awesome. And so I meet with Bread of Life Food Pantry tomorrow night, they reminded me, and I will be there, and just to flesh out the details of that. So on a pilot basis, we certainly don't want to make any promises that we can't stand behind, but we've talked to the health inspector, we're all good to go as far as those things go. Sam has extensive experience in the restaurant industry and knows what's allowable and not allowable in terms of making things available. So he's been really good about getting us that information. So I promised Tara that I wouldn't talk too much about the hydroponic thing, so I'm going to pass it to her. I'm going to say one more thing, though.
Okay.
I know I'm long-winded, but so one of the things that we have the luxury of doing and that we're both and required to do at New West is teach together. And so Tara and I currently teach a class that's called Literacy in Environmental Science. And so we're using the hydroponic system to approach that content and how you get it.
Okay. So in addition to teaching, well, starting to teach the botany side of the plants, science, one class period a week, we have been going to Buffalo Gardens and starting to set up our system. A lot of the time spent this fall has been moving all of the stuff from Bomber Mountain, where we've been storing it since last January, to Buffalo Gardens, and clearing out the space. We have a bay in the back of Buffalo Gardens where we're going to put it. It's 10 foot by 40 feet, so it's wow. Pretty big. We have the framework built. We have it kind of all leveled out. I sent the water sample off today, and so the kids are going to learn all about, what the water is like and what kind of filter we need mm-hmm. to get and what kind of minerals we need to add to the water to make the plants grow correctly and all of that. And so we're just going to kind of keep plugging away at building this, and hopefully by the first of the year when they return from winter break, we will be growing some lettuce and growing some herbs in that system. That is kind of our goal as we're going towards the winter break. So it's been fun. They've done a lot of manual labor, a lot of lifting and carrying and sorting, and I think they're really excited to get to the part where we will begin growing some stuff and using the knowledge we've been learning in the classroom about plant science. So that part's exciting.
I think Mr. Camino would be proud of all the heavy lifting you guys have been doing.
Yes, we're getting the PE credit. Yes, yeah, for sure. I just want to mention one other thing. I'm also the math teacher, and I am so proud of our math students. Math is not an easy thing for a lot of kids, and a lot of our kids come to New West, with math struggles. Not all of them, but some of them. And I am thankful that I get to spend an hour with them a day, and they are able in that entire hour to get a math lesson in, and then have the extra time to do their homework with me there. Since we don't have homework at New West, they
I think it's really beneficial for them to have that extra class time with a teacher there to get the extra practice that they need to get to, you know, get their homework done. And so I'm thankful for the extra time in my math classes with them. I think they've all done so well. And this is my third year with a lot of them, and I have five kids in Algebra 2, and I'm really thankful to see the growth that they've made. They'll all take the ACT this spring, and that's a little nerve-wracking to have my five kids that I've seen all the way through of 3 years of math get that ACT score, but I'm also really excited to see that too. So yeah.
As my segue into Julie and Sasha talking about what they do together would be to say that, so how does literacy and environmental science work? An example of that would be this morning, Claire and I were talking about, you know, what's next in the science content and what information that she needs to get to the kids. And she said, well, you know, we're going to have these stations, but what I'm afraid of is, you know, the kids are just going to take the information from here and they're going to put it over here. And how do we get them to slow down and actually read the material, absorb the material when they're writing down their answers, write down thoughtful answers? And so a thing that we've been really interested in, and we'll go to learn more about when we go to the English Teachers Conference in Boston next week, is what they call disciplinary literacy. So, right, very few people go to college to go be English teachers, right? So almost all of us use our literacy in other areas. And so how does my content area help students studying science do their work? And so then I provide lessons that back that up. The students who will be working on the garden situation will be doing all of the marketing for that, because we want people to be knowing what we're doing about that. So we'll be studying, you know, evidence and argument and those sorts of things in a marketing context. I think the kids will really like. So that's one way we integrate language arts at New West. And Julie and Sasha will talk about some more.
So there's two classes at New West that have the integrated English component in them. One is the literacy and environmental science. And then the other one is a co-taught class that Sasha and I teach together called The Modern World. And we're kind of building this class as we go. But it's been really fun so far. The reasons that we decided to do integrated English was because, like Mike said, no one really just wants to sit through English most of the time. They want to apply it to history, to science, to all the things that they care about. Their contemporary ideas and current events that are happening. We have a very wide range of skills in the class that we teach together, from students that struggle with reading at all to very high level readers, and so we're able to meet the diverse learners' needs in that class. We use a lot of real world examples, like looking at articles of things that are happening today and summarizing them, and right now we are doing like a 5 to 6 week unit of study on the Middle East, and so that's something that's usually kind of brushed over in history class in a very short segment, but we're going really deep with it. And the kids each got to research one of the countries, so there's the research component for English. And we started by studying the three, the ancient history of the Abrahamic religions. And then we also are right now studying the war and colonization impacts on the Middle East. We're reading a contemporary novel that's pretty difficult, and then we will wrap it up with eating a bunch of Middle Eastern food. So it's kind of a cultural study, but it's great to just slow down and digest all of that information. And we're also very excited to go to Boston and learn how to do that in a better way.
Did you want to add to that at all?
I think that covers it very well.
And then the other thing that we wanted to highlight tonight was just one of our goals when we were here last year, we just talked about one of our goals is to provide more credentialing opportunities for students while they're in high school. So this year we have 9 students earning their OSHA certifications in kind of a variety of ways. Most of them are general industry OSHA certifications, but we also have medical, culinary, automotive. So it's really specific to their personal learning plan and what their goals are after high school. TJ, our early graduate, just finished his credential this week. And they're really, it's kind of a dry thing to do, to sit and listen to like all of the rules about working. But they get really excited about it actually being something they can take with them when they graduate to make them more employable. So they're motivated to finish that. And we have some students looking at EMT stuff for next year. One student that's kind of interested in CNA credentialing. So we're really focusing a lot on making sure that kids have at least one credential when they leave, if not more.
Good. Another class, but I didn't think to talk about, but I would like to take a minute. My consumer math class, every year we, the students design and have printed New West t-shirts. You will often see that we're always wearing random t-shirts at New West. That's done by design so that kids can create their own. And Borgia at the high school has always done a great job printing those for us, and he's always worked really well with us. That's been great. This year, we are partnering with Get It Got It Downtown. They're a new business downtown, and they offered to work with the kids in a computer program, so they're able to design it in a computer program. And then she invited a couple kids at a time to come in and physically print their shirts, so they get to see the behind-the-scenes printing of either like the sticker stamp that will, and this is, clearly I'm not a t-shirt expert just yet, but the sticker stamp that melts onto the front of the shirt, or the screen printing, and they'll get to build their whole screen and print it. I did move it this year to first semester because last year when we did it in the spring, the process always takes just a little bit longer when everything's trying to be printed in the spring before everybody gets out. So I just felt like the seniors didn't all get as many shirts as they would have wanted. So this year we decided to move it up into first semester so that they would have opportunity to buy it before the holidays, and then possibly next semester they could purchase if they needed to.
Well, thank
any
you, guys.
Questions?
That was awesome. Thank you.
Board questions, thoughts?
Just a comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marcia.
I just had a question. When you guys have your classes, all the students are taking the same class together. Is that how that works, or you're divided up into, like, you could be taking this, or you could only be teaching a few students at a time this class? They're not all combined.
So we do have a bell schedule at New West. And we can generally run three classes at a time. And so that's Julie's hard work to figure out, you know, given, you know, the limited number of folks that we have to divide students up amongst, where to put them. And it also, so when we have our open enrollment season, you know, in the springtime, and which seems to last through the summer, you know, the credit requirements for every student that we enroll really drive what we need to offer that year. If we've got seniors, I mean, and sometimes they'll need to pick up multiple math classes or multiple science classes, we'll have to figure out a way to offer those, and hopefully in a unique way, right? Because in all likelihood, they've sat through that class at least once, and so we want to deliver the curriculum in a novel way to keep their interest.
So your classes could change every year.
They do.
They always do.
So can I add to that? So
yes.
Last year I taught two smaller sections of U.S. history, which ended up being like quite a big portion of our school. So I didn't need to teach U.S. history again because I had the bulk of our kids enrolled in that last year. So with a solid foundation of U.S. history, a lot of them were interested in the Middle East because the War on Terror has been a part of their lives their whole life. And so I thought, well, let's get into the Middle East then. And they love to learn about war. They love it. And they say, don't you want to learn, like, there's so much more to history. And they said, no, Mrs. Gosser, we want a war. And I said, okay, so we started in the Middle East, but our focus really is on so much more than just the War on Terror. We want to explore a little bit more about their culture and the people and the religions and things that we don't get to know about just by walking down the street in Buffalo, Wyoming.
And those classes that are integrated English are longer than our typical classes. They're an hour and 20 minutes long so that we can really take the time to do some deep reading and writing, so that the environmental science, the modern world, and then the ProStart culinary class all happen at the same time. So all of the kids are in a longer course during that. It's fourth hour, so.
Did you have a question, Dave?
I feel like this community is blessed to have you guys, not only as teachers, but to have New West there to fulfill what these kids need. I just really want to thank you guys for what you do.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
All right. Principal reports. Anybody got questions, comments for the principals?
Wait, is Maggie here?
I was stargazing. I thought we had a star watching night tonight, so that's why I was late.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if any of you guys went to the Halloween parties and the assembly, but Maggie, I cannot be more grateful to have you there in that school. You are just... You're killing it, and you're going to bring me to tears. Those kids were so excited and so fun. So, thank you.
Other items for the principals. Jen, please.
Buffalo High School. Burmester. I'm very sorry. Had a state champion.
Absolutely.
Swimming.
1 meter swimming and diving.
Yes. Does she take after you, Dr. Hansen?
Whatever skills she has, she gets from her mother.
So that was one that we had this fall, was the state championship.
Absolutely.
So congratulations. And to the swim team, they finished
third.
Third. Yeah, 11 girls.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
All that whole swim team qualified for state, is my understanding. That is
awesome.
A huge accomplishment.
Yes.
And you have a assistant coach of the year on there, right?
We do.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And Mr. Not to, you know, I look at, we received a letter from one of the schools saying how great our sportsmanship from our football team.
Yes.
Yes.
And the same thing with volleyball. I do all their matches, and it's just, you know, that's what it's all about.
Thank you.
And we're lucky to have the coaches that we have.
Yeah. Anybody got anything else for the principals? Next up, ops team reports. Questions or thoughts on ops team? Mr. Zink, you've been sitting around. Oh, he's not.
He's not here tonight. He had a senior. He was being a parent tonight.
He is very bored with nothing to do all month, it sounded like. Anybody have anything else for ops team?
I have one question. I'm really sorry tonight. Okay. And this one was for Mr. Zink, so Charles, maybe you know. The boilers are causing problems at PHS now? Is that my understanding from his report? And if that's true, is this
so not causing problems, they are a problem. So we are trying to readdress those. We tried doing some of the work last year thinking that we could, we'd solve the issue, and we've come to find out we are not. But it's not just the boilers. It's actually the control system is outdated. And so it's locked up. And correct me if I'm wrong, Gib, but they couldn't even jumpstart it with some of the areas. So that's a pretty major project that's going to cost a lot of money, and we're trying to figure out how to stage that. But Mr. Zink has reassured me that we will take on this challenge and keep Buffalo High School as warm as we can through this process. But that has definitely moved up that project to something that needs to happen between now and this summer. So.
I guess, was that on that list, that huge?
No. Okay. Murphy's Law right now.
Surprise.
But I'll let John speak to it next time, but I think he said 6 years ago this was something that was on the list to be fixed, and it just wasn't a priority at that time. And so we're kind of behind the eight ball. So again, this is why we're trying to identify things and fix them in advance, so we're not in a system that's not working. But correct me if I'm wrong, you still have heat, correct?
We do.
It's only in sections?
But I will also say that this morning, it was much improved this morning. So
okay.
I don't know what magic he worked, but some.
So it's not just the boilers, it's the controls that work the boilers that aren't, that need to be replaced. So.
Anything else for Ops team? Admin reports. Anybody got questions for the admin team?
Mr. Chair,
please.
So Connie, what is asset tagging?
Well, you put a little asset tag.
Okay. Is this like a game?
No.
Expensive one.
No. So we've been trying to get this company to come for a couple of years, and finally they came. And so the asset, they tagged everything that was $500 or more.
Company does. You hired a company to come in.
Yeah. And then they will come back with a list in a couple of months with all the replacement costs on everything. And so we'll have a good inventory system, then we can start really working on our replacement cycle of all our equipment. Because right now we don't really even know what equipment we have, so now hopefully that will have help.
So,
and I do want to say that technology's already been tagged with everything, so they tagged their stuff, and so they didn't tag. If they tagged something, it was something they couldn't see their tag, maybe they stuck in there because they wanted to put everything on the list. So
let me help explain. So over the last couple of years when we started this journey with depreciation reserve, we never had a depreciation rotation. So we tried to have this company come in and actually do a depreciation of all the equipment that's not funded through major maintenance, so we can actually start a rotation of placing equipment instead of doing the knee-jerk reaction, we haven't planned for this. So this is a long-term planning tool that we're actually starting to see the needle move with depreciation reserve, so we can actually start replacing equipment before it's too late. So it's kind of that efficiency. So this company, I think they prolonged it, 12 months, and now they're here, so they're going to bring this to the table, and then that's going to help us with that efficiency of budgeting, so we know what we have for depreciation reserve, but then can start replacing equipment and not doing the, it's broke, we need to replace it, but we don't have money for it type of scenario. Understanding that there will also be some Murphy's Law, kind of like what's happening at BHS with controls right now. So it is just some long-term planning that has kind of been on the table for 2 years. It's just finally coming to the, we're just seeing it surface so we can actually start making some financial decisions.
And also we can have a list to give to the insurance, so they'll have an accurate, up-to-date list of our equipment and send our supplies and everything that's in the building if something happens.
Mr. Chair, Dave, just a little history. I'm so glad they're doing with this company. I mean, way back when, they used to have the teachers do it, and it was a disaster. And then they tried to have certain people do it in each building, and then they tried. It was just so to get one company in there to do it all. It's the right thing to do because it was, I mean, I have stuff on tag on top of tag on top of tag. So you're doing the right thing by having one company come in and do this.
So for me, through your software, when you purchase something, how come it doesn't automatically get into an asset category?
Going forward. It's all the stuff that we have that's not.
Yeah. It's all the stuff that hasn't been put in the system prior to being here. So
it's just neglect on somebody's behalf and not.
So we're trying to catch up. Yes.
I don't know if you call it neglect. It was just it didn't have a good system of doing it, and I think having this system of doing it it's the right way to go. Having been there, been assigned tag this.
So I will just give you a forewarning. His initial comment is you have a lot of stuff. And it's going to cost a lot of money. So I'm prepared to be sitting down when I see that number. But again, you've allowed me to start getting into a position that we're financially trying to stabilize so that we're not in a panic mode with how we start replacing equipment over time. So
we paid for half. This is half. He's already been here, they've gone through everything, and now they're putting all the lists together. So we pay for half of it, and then coming back, when he gives us all the final stuff, then we'll pay the other.
This is the gentleman that went to the hospital during this evaluation piece, but it wasn't because of a heart attack, it was because he had some other issues, but he did complete the process, okay?
Good. Anything else for the office team?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
I just have a comment. and this was in Connie's board report. I think that it's, I like the did you know when certain teams put that in, because there's a lot of things that you're like, huh, I had no idea that that happened. But this one around the facts with the ADM, and like, I think it's important for us to know how pertinent it is that we, that, you know, attendance is taken every day, attendance is taken correctly. I'm a link clicker. Everyone knows if you send me a link, I'll click it. I might get it, I might not. But the link that she sent on the attendance and the membership, the FAQ that the WEDE sent out, click on that. There's some stuff in there that I was like, huh, I had no idea. And when we're going forward and making some decisions when it comes to budgetary things, this is a big one. And so the more we know, I think the better we'll be equipped to make really good decisions. So I appreciate all of those did you know facts. Thank you for that.
Other things were up. All right. Hearing none.
So can I speak to mine?
Please.
So if you have not had an opportunity to look at the parent liaison, if we're talking about celebrations, what they have in there, but they did you know facts are pretty interesting. Kind of lines back to some of the things we're talking with the cell phone, kind of where we're at too with that lacking social connection piece. I thought there were some really key things in there. And as we kind of move through that, but there's some great did you know facts throughout the whole reports that are presented. So
yes, those are always fun.
Mr. Chair, sorry, I did have one more thing, and that was in Charles's report. Just again, a comment. I have gone to the WSBA conference every year since I've been a board member, and it's a great learning experience. It's great to see a lot of our teams go and present. The last day is on law. While law is probably not the most exciting thing, it is very important because we deal with a lot of law. And so I was super excited that Mr. Oski put out the schedule and the link, and to see that a good majority of our new board members are going. I'm not sure if it's new, but I don't remember seeing it before, that the WSBA is offering a whole day training to new board members. When I picked up my packet this year to put my name back in the hat, I can tell you the last time I had a packet, the WD did not have a packet in there on what becoming a board member really means and like what do you have to do. And that was a pretty informational piece. So for new board members coming on, actually getting in and going and listening what your position is going to be as a new board member, I think is super duper exciting, and I kind of want to take it, but other things going on.
Well, that is a great key in. So there's a gentleman sitting over in the back corner there. Shane,
yes.
Do you want to stand up?
Please.
So Shane, I'll let you introduce yourself, and with the new board members here tonight, he is a part of the growing of board members through the School Boards Association. So Shane, I'll let you speak to that.
Yeah. So hello everyone, I'm Shane Rader. I'm out of Sheridan. I serve on the Sheridan 2, District 2 board, and then also represent Sheridan and Johnson counties for WSBA. So I'm Johnson County's board representative, so I'm trying to make it down, make the connections. So you guys have new board members coming in tonight, so I just wanted to welcome them on. As Lynette was talking about, there is new board member training at WSBA. The first day of the annual conference, they'll have their pre-session stuff, and then when some of us other board members go to delegate assembly, they'll continue on some of that training. Also, I don't know if Travis had shared, this was fairly new, but there's also going to be it's a series of five webinar trainings for new board members. Three of them will be in December and then two in January. And those will be on Thursdays. They're usually scheduled for about an hour. But even if you do sign up but are unable to make it to one of them, they do share out the link for the recording. So you will have access to that as a new board member. And the content will be different from what they'll have at the annual conference.
So Shane, I'd like to recognize you for the work that you're doing and representation, but new board members here tonight that haven't had an opportunity to, Shane, please make sure you connect with him and you will get an opportunity to visit with him during our dinner at the School Boards Association on Wednesday night. So, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else? District admin?
And if you didn't read, Dr. Miller's presenting, so.
I did notice that. I was hoping it was lots of data because I'm taking it. All right, hearing none. Board level reports. Rec board reports. You've got a nice printout this time. Anything in addition? Hearing none. BOCES report.
BOCES, I'm sad to inform you that we have lost our director, Taylor Jones. He's moved on. That's a tough job. It's a 24/7 job. But he has moved on. He was our director for about 2 years. He did a fantastic job. Right now, Naomi, and I never could pronounce her last name, but she is our business manager. She will be the interim director. They figure it's going to take between 9 to 12 months to find a new director. And it's like losing your CEO, your superintendent, all in one. They are using the WSBA like we did, and they're going to be using that, and they'll do a nationwide search for a new director. So that's the big news. And I'd also like to say, Mr. Chair, you probably need to find someone to the next meeting. For BOCES will be at the WSBA conference.
Okay.
So, and his last day was actually November 1st. He gave 2 weeks' notice. So, that's tough.
So, we have not had a BOCES meeting?
Yes,
so
we did. Yes, we did. We had a BOCES meeting, and I went to Ranchester.
I missed that.
Yeah, and well, they're very short. You drive all the way. You drove to Ranchester, and the meeting lasted maybe 15 minutes long. But I think the president kind of looked at our faces, kind of like, did all this for a 15-minute meeting. But it's a very important meeting because we are taking taxpayers' money, and we are distributing it out. So we're taking our stakeholders' money, and we're distributing. Sheridan College only keeps our money, their money, for it. A day and a half before it's handed out. So they're very efficient about that. And the meeting is to say, yes, distribute it. This is what you did. I will give the financial report to Connie, so she will have that for us. But yes, we did. And the next meeting is in February.
Here.
And they will be contacting you, Mr. Oski, because it will be here. And just so you know, they always provide a light dinner.
So that will be coming up. It is here, and again, as they transition to this new transition away from Campbell County and transition to this new one, I would hope the meetings get a little bit more in detail, but this is still in the infinite stage of development.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's very efficient, and the business manager does report. And
cool.
Anybody got anything else there? All right. From the board. From the board.
Can I have one?
Please.
Okay, I guess two. First one, we were talking about coaches. I just want to say Mr. Woodall and Mr. Dahlberg will be truly missed.
Yes.
Great coaches. It was pretty awesome to have them, and you're lucky to have them in the middle school. Ron, they're pretty great guys. And then you three women, thank you.
Yes.
I have learned so much from you guys in these 2 years, and I'm going to miss you all very, very much. And it's just been an honor serving with you. I just,
I've really enjoyed this time.
Thank you.
Getting to know you, and just you're great for our community and great leaders.
Thank you.
Others from the board? Okay, WSBA resolutions. So we need to have one voting member, and then that vote will be weighted on district enrollment. So we need to elect one voting member. But full disclosure, I asked Lynette if she would be willing to do this, and she said she would, because we had to register long before the work session. So I would like to nominate Lynette to be our voting member at the WSBA conference for the WSBA resolutions.
Be fun.
Can I get it? Okay.
Second?
Yeah.
We need a second.
Yeah.
We need to vote.
I feel like I need an action on this, guys, just so we're all official.
I make a motion to appoint Lynette as our voting delegate at the WSBA conference.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
I will say Lynette's done it the past
several years. Mm-hmm.
And so she knows what's going on. She knows how to get us on the internet. And if we don't have the internet, then we'll use our little paddles. But she knows what's going on.
Yes, she had to coach me last year to get through it. So, all right, all in favor of appointing Lynette as our voting member, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Not positive that was necessary, but I wanted to be sure it was good. All right, now to the resolutions. Okay, they gave us no recommendations on several, but we've gone through and looked at these already. The super has recommendations. So, 2024, 2026.1, local boards to decide concealed carry rule. This is a resolution that keeps it at the local board level and makes each district responsible for their own policies. The super has come out in support of this because it keeps it simple and keeps it local. Is everybody good with being in favor of this resolution at the WSBA conference? Is anybody opposed to it?
I have a dumb question. Does this mean concealed weapons as far as people coming into our schools with it?
Yes.
Charles? Well, what about, you know, we get people coming in from games and stuff, and they don't know what our rules are. Will we post it, or
so? Here's what I'm going to say: a majority of people. I mean, let's be transparent. The School Boards Association has a delegate assembly, and then that would be something that comes to legislation. I think what's more important here is you have three different recommended changes going into this legislation, and we all know that legislation already passed this last year and the governor vetoed it. This will be one of the first things that come to the table. I think the most important part is, Lynette, you hear from the delegate assemblies what school districts around the state want. And the reality is, if we don't get in front of this and allow school districts to determine what we want, the state's going to determine that anybody can have a concealed weapon on school grounds at any event and not have to notify the school about it. That's a general summary of what that looks like. So my recommendation is that we allow local school districts to determine what we want with what that looks like. However, that is the next survey that will be going out to the community and getting feedback from stakeholders, because this is real, and it will be something that legislation will probably put into motion. So when you answer that question, when you ask the question, Jan, what does that look like? We can determine that, and then we would advertise what that looks like. My concern is we want to be in control of what this looks like in our community, in our schools, and not allow something to happen that we can't control. That's my biggest emphasis through that. It is another thing that we have to look at. It's another opportunity for us to decide, but we are definitely going to have to be proactive with what this looks like if legislation is going to do what everybody feels they're going to do and pass some law, okay?
So to sort of address that question, this resolution puts the onus on the board to come up with those signs, policies, however we handle it.
And Lynette, I guess that's my, if you're asking for me as a superintendent, I want to be in control of this and not have somebody telling us what's best for our community when it comes to something as critical as this. Because this isn't just about concealed weapons. This is about how to impact school. This is, we got to start talking about what is a concealed, non-concealed, when's a threatening situation, when can somebody come in and intimidate a teacher. All these things. It isn't about the training piece. This allows anybody to come into a public entity and makes it legal. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things that we need to kind of be in control of with as a district, and that's what I want to be in control of and not have something that we can't control.
Everybody good there? Okay. Second up, 2026.2, retain local board authority over possession of firearms by employees. This resolution, similar to the last, wants to leave it to the districts to decide and not have it shoved down their throats by legislature or anybody else. The super has come out in support of this one, basically the same terms, keep the control local, keep it here, instead of having it come down from on high. Discussion on this one. Yes, in favor of local control. Charles, anything there? You're same with principle.
Yeah.
Okay. 2026.3, concealed carry permit requirement. This is the one that says you have to be a concealed carry permit holder to carry on school grounds. Charles is in support of this one too. The simplicity helps this one make sense.
So my summary is the first three here, basically just going back to the very first one and just saying let's keep it simple and be in control of things.
Discussion on this one. Is everybody good? We're in support here? Okay. Homeschools, 2026.4. Homeschools should not be classified as a dropout. And this is the one where there's actually policy in place that says that's true. But they weren't enforcing it correctly at the Wyoming Department of Education. So this one we kind of, Charles, help me out here. We don't want to support the resolution as originally drafted. We do wish to support correcting the procedures. Is that how?
Yeah, and Shane, if it's something you as a board of directors have already had a conversation on, this one is basically just supporting the School Boards Association with substitute resolution, basically to follow our own rules already.
Travis, it's actually not a policy, it's a federal law. It's already been written.
Excuse me, I missed it. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Everybody good? We're in support of that one?
We're supporting in the deny of this.
In the
correct.
Substitute resolution.
Okay.
It's not a drop
down. Good? All right. Next up, 2026.5, curriculum transparency.
Yeah, they're basically saying it's unnecessary.
Yes.
The curriculum is transparent.
Everybody good here? Right.
So I can just speak from my experience. This is the smallest amount of resolutions that have been presented to go through. So,
and three of them have to do with guns.
Yeah.
In school.
Yeah, in school. Thank you, Travis.
It seems difficult to figure, but there we are.
Yeah.
2026.6, statutory notification dates for Board of Trustees and certified staff. This one's pretty straightforward. I think we've addressed it by policy already, but superintendent supports this one. Discussion here?
No, they don't support it. It's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
It feels unnecessary.
Yep.
So you supported the board of directors in that this isn't necessary, we're already doing this.
Yeah.
So you good? Okay. And then we go into advocacy agenda, but many of us will be going down to participate in this one. Do you guys want to hit that tonight or leave it till later?
I think this will be something that Lynette can bring back to you as a board of trustees and what they talk about on the advocacy and have a training on that piece.
Okay.
Are you fair with that?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. So on that one, at the end there, the other issues and positions are key to read.
Okay.
Yep.
Good positions to be.
they are. It's just getting the wheels in motion to make them happen.
Okay, then you're carrying a lot on this. Do you got anything else you want to look at here? Do you feel good?
No, I feel good. Okay. I have some homework.
We don't have a lot to vote on, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's the least number of resolutions I've
ever
seen.
All right, December 6th, special work session, special meeting work session.
So okay. are you sure that date's right? That's on a Friday, according to my calendar.
6th and 4th listed both.
Geez, I'm not showing an 11. Oh, no, gotcha, yeah.
So it should be the 4th and the
4th. I just said that
the
9th,
huh?
Write it down.
Yeah,
I probably don't change the date.
Yes, you three will expect it promptly. All right, December 4th then, 5:15. Here.
So that will be an audit work session.
Okay.
Financial audit work session.
Oh boy, you're sorry
that's
you're missing
an exciting
that.
Exciting one. You guys are coming in on a
real,
real
fun note. Everybody good there?
Okay.
Board meeting Monday, December 9th. Here. We have to elect officers, set the meeting schedule, and get committee assignments. Plus schools, our school representative. So, come prepared for a great and action-packed meeting. We will be taking all kinds of fun stuff right from the get-go.
So, Travis, if I can emphasize, because that will be one of the action items as we look at the audit, is that work session is really essential to understanding and establishing the funding and the audit. So, that work session is probably very critical, not only to new board members, but kind of where we're at. So, okay.
Yes. Okay. So next up on the agenda, we've got recognition of outgoing board members. Jan Johnson served on the board since January of 2020 to November today. Kristen Ledoux is also from 2020 to today, and Jody Verplanke since 2016. So we'd like to thank you ladies all. Superb leadership, great training of newbies.
8 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
eight,
tough.
Eight,
yeah.
Eight
thanks
years.
For supporting kids, you all.
That's,
yeah.
That's a long time, Jody. It is 8 years, and you were always a good board member during that time. 8 years.
So Travis, on behalf of the district, again, not scaring the new board members off, but this is probably one of the most difficult boards that anybody can sit on, and a lot of the challenges that you face, because school districts are the heart of the community, and there's a lot of things that, a lot of decisions have to be made that are not just educational based, but in relation to making sure we're doing what's best for our kids. So thank you for your time. 8 years, yes, but it's not just the years of time. There's a lot of things that have to happen in order for the district to move forward, and the Board of Trustees have been a part of that, and you've been a part of that, so thank you.
Thank you for fans.
You know, when they say it's always a trite thing to say, it's been a privilege and an honor, but it has. It's been a privilege and an honor. Because we are protecting whatever you want to say, our biggest assets in the state, and that's our children.
Yeah,
that is our children. As our children goes, so goes our state.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go and ditto.
All right. Well, big thank you to all of you. Public comment. Heidi, have we any public comment this evening? None. Okay. Next up is executive session. Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. Appreciate it.
So, Travis, new board members, if you want to touch base with Shane on the outside when we're here,
I'll make a motion to enter the executive session by Wyoming Statute 16-4-405.
The purpose of personnel and legal matters. A motion from Dave, a second from, I think, Marcia, and then all in favor of entering into executive session, signify by saying aye.
5 minutes.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.